With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 217th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are 0-4, getting ready to face the 2-2 Carolina Panthers, who are under the guidance of first-year NFL head coach Matt Rhule. We're going to title this episode, Rhule Has the Panthers Roaring. They dropped their first two games and then won the last two. Lost to the Raiders 34-30. Lost at Tampa Bay 31-17. Then they won at the LA Chargers 21-16. And they beat Arizona 31-21 last week in Charlotte. Jumped out to a 27-8 lead and then held on. They've won their two games without their big-time running back, Christian McCaffrey. He's out, and a local kid's picking up the slack for him. That would be Mike Davis, James Davis's brother. Of course, Mike played at South Carolina and Stevenson, and James played at Douglas High, Clemson, Cleveland Browns. But yeah, Mike Davis, he's fifth year in the league, bounced around a little bit since 2015. But with McCaffrey out, he's running the ball for him. 30 carries for 131 yards, 4.4 a carry, one touchdown. He was splitting it with Reggie Bonifant, but he went on the practice squad IR today. They do have Trenton Cannon on the roster, but they're getting a little thin at running back up there in Carolina. Now, of course, the big news is Teddy Bridgewater came over from New Orleans to be the quarterback after they parted ways with Cam Newton. And Teddy is directing things after, you know, the promising start to his career in Minnesota, where he's a Pro Bowler, and then he had the big injury. And then, went to New Orleans and helped revive his career down there. But, yeah, this Panther roster has a lot of kind of cast-off guys that are banding together to make a team. One of them is Robbie Anderson. He's a wideout from Temple. Coach Rhule has deep roots to Temple, and so he's got one of his old Temple Owls there. He did really good at Temple before going down to Baylor. And Robbie Anderson's a 6'3", 190-pound receiver. He's got 28 catches for 377 yards and one touchdown. Robbie's best season before this was 2017 with the Jets, where he had 63 catches for 941 yards and seven touchdowns. Of course, the other big weapon for the Panthers is DJ Moore. You know, we compare him and Ridley together. They were the two receivers in that draft that went in the same neighborhood. DJ Moore from Maryland, he's got 18 catches for 288 yards and no touchdowns. And Ridley has 21 catches for 349 and 5. But, of course, he's coming off the game where he was did not get a catch in the game against the Green Bay Packers. 5 targets and no catches. Matt Ryan said that he was targeted, or they kept a safety over the top of him, and that kind of basically took him away and took him out of the plans in that game. So we'll see how he bounces back here against Carolina. He's going to want to have a big game with DJ on the other side over there, DJ Moore. So, got a couple other notes here on the Panthers. Panthers defense, of course, they got a couple rookies. They're hoping they're going to be stalwarts for a long time for them. Of course, Derek Brown from Lanier High School here in Auburn. It's their top pick. And then Yetar Gross-Matos out of Penn State. He was one of the kids that a lot of people scouted, and he helped them get a couple turnovers here early in the season. They also got Jeremy Chin, who was the safety linebacker that a lot of people scouted out of Southern Illinois. So he's got some young guys over there, and then brought back some of the old trusted veterans like safety Trey Boston, who's over there with the Panthers. And on the offensive line, they signed got Russell Okun in the offseason, but he got hurt, and they're playing with Greg Little and Trent Scott along the line. So those are some of the keys here for key players for the Panthers, who are 2-2. Be playing here against the Falcons on Sunday, the 0-4 Falcons on Sunday at 1 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're going to give you a few comments here from Coach Dan Quinn, and then we got some Matt Rhule. We got Coach Quinn talking about the Carolina Panthers, and then we'll go to Coach Rhule talking about Teddy Bridgewater here. Here's Coach Quinn.
Bridgewater at quarterback, you know, this guy's as tough as they come. They added Anderson outside, who I think already a good group, you know, with Moore and Samuel there. Mike Davis has certainly had a good game, you know, yesterday just in watching, but he's got size, he's got vision to, you know, to bounce it outside. Those three jump out to me as we're just starting our preparation. Defensively, some new faces as well, inside with Brown, outside with Meadows as a rusher. Safety with Chin, so you know, different guys in different spots, but nothing like division games, man. It's so much fun. Guys know one another. Although the staff, we don't know one another yet. It'll be good to get this rivalry going with a new group.
All right, that was Dan Quinn, a new group. He's talking about Matt Rhule and his staff. And Quinn is, you know, the Falcons have won the last five matchups. The last five matchups with the Panthers and eight of the last nine. So Coach Rhule's going to want to come in and establish that, hey, we can beat the Falcons. He wants to, you know, Coach Quinn had to do that when he came in because Rivera was doing pretty good back then when he came in to take over. So that's going to be an issue. Let's go here to Coach Rhule. Coach Rhule talking about his quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater.
You know, I think Teddy was, you know, no, it doesn't really show up, but Teddy at the end of the, you know, he had his own read at the end of the game last week that kind of kept the drive, gave us a chance to extend the drive. Because we were talking about red zone this week, you know, Teddy was sort of like, hey, you know, I can run it, you know, I'll be smart, you know, I'm not going to take a huge hit, but you know, I can run it. And, you know, the fourth and two, that great, you know, just sort of drop back pass where they matched all the routes and he took off. I think the biggest thing about those is just you see the way the players respond to each other. Like, and you only really see it when you see the TV copy. And I don't really have a chance to see the TV copy. But I came in this morning, one of the coaches had watched it and showed me a couple clips, and like, you know, you see a receiver make a catch, you see the other receivers go up and just so excited for the guy. And then you see Teddy score that touchdown and you see the guys go running up and celebrating together. I mean, that's really all we want as a team, you know, and teams, you know, they are excited for each other and they have energy for each other. So, you know, I think Teddy's got a lot of confidence in himself. He has a lot of confidence in the guys around him. I do think, going back to Greg, I think Greg and Trent playing well last week in San Diego let Teddy know that he was going to have time, and I thought he played with real confidence. But I think guys are, you know, they're getting to know each other, and they're trusting each other more and more every week.
All right, Coach Matt Rhule there. Let's go over Teddy's numbers here. Teddy's 103 for 141, 1,147 yards, four touchdowns, three interceptions. He's hitting on 73% of his passes. And then his quarterback rating, 97.4 is his quarterback rating. So we finally got enough here where get the computer back up here, 2020. You know, four-game sample size. Four-game sample size. We got some numbers that actually mean something. The teams are starting to take shape. And we can at least compare where the Falcons and the Panthers are at so far here. And we're going to go through that right now. We get the statistical analysis of the Falcons and the Panthers together here. So we're looking for anything in the top 16. If you're not in the top 16, it's bad sailing. So the Falcons offense says that, hey, they're a top offense. They net passing, they're fifth, 294.3. Rushing, 101.8. That's not in the top 16. That's tied for 23rd. Offense overall is tied for 8th, 396 yards, and then points. 26.5, they're 14th. So then you want to go look at the Panthers defense and what they are doing. And we're going to slide over here. Panthers defense, they're giving up 25 points a game, 19th. 352 yards a game, 10th. Rushing yards, 125.3, 21. Opposing passing yards giving up 227. That's seven. So then the whole balancer is turnover differential. Both teams are at plus two, tied for eighth. So this looks like with the statistical cross analysis here that the Falcons should be able to run the ball here. 108 against the 21st, well, you got the 23rd run offense against the 21st run defense. So that's really a kind of a wash. You got the 8th pass offense against the 7th pass defense. So this game will be a little closer than we think here for the offense. Okay, now for the other side, the Panthers with Teddy Bridgewater, they're 18th, 12th, 15th, and 8th. So 18th in game points. 12th in total offense, 15th in rushing yards, 116.3, net passing yards, 8,274. So now we look at the Falcons defense. That's going to be a matchup Carolina based on the numbers, just because the Falcons are 31st, 31st, 10th, and 31st. So that means that Carolina's offense is going to be in a big advantage or when they're on the field, whereas the Falcons' offense is going to be in a dogfight. So 34.5 points per game, 31st in the league. The giving up total offense, 448.3 yards a game. Then rushing yards, 106.8 yards a game. And then total passing yards a game, 341.5. So they're doing nothing great, everything pretty bad. Stopping the run is 10th, but that's only because people don't bother running because they can, you can see, you saw how the Packers came out and zipped right down the field through the air. The Falcons did put up a little fight on the goal line and got a stand in there. So Carolina's going not. They're not trying to. They're trying to run some of this college stuff, some read option. Mike Davis, get him going. They ran Teddy near the goal line last week on some read option stuff. So not a big pass team, but heck, they're gonna have to try to. They're gonna probably try their chances with the Falcons because they're yielding so many yards. But granted, the Falcons have played Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Mitch Trubisky / Nick Foles, and then Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, that's going to be a pretty bad look for your pass defense there. Whereas the Panthers have played the Raiders, Tom Brady, or Derek Carr, Tom Brady. They got the Herbert kid in his rookie debut after Tyrod Taylor got hurt and they punctured his lung. And then they beat Kyler Murray. So the best, arguably, the second best quarterback they face Yeah, they beat. So, yeah, it's a team playing hard, making a lot of mistakes. From what I gather, listen to the audio from Matt Rowe was courtesy of the Carolina Panthers video department. They televised his press conference on Monday. He spoke 23 minutes. Our conference was 12 minutes. But, you know, they had to fly back today and get back in here early. But we haven't been going 23 minutes much of the year. We got to start getting more of our questions in here to get all the information out to the fans. But, hey, that's it. That's our preview of the Carolina Panthers. There's going to be some familiar faces, you know, some new ones, too, with, you know, Matt Rhule up there, Derek Brown on defense, you know, Yatar Gross-Matos, Jeremy Chinn, Trey Boston, Greg Little, a couple old heads. Been bouncing around the league trying to stick. Hopefully it works out for him. Falcons got to get their pass rush going. I'm sorry. We gave him four games. Fowler's been hurt. Just standing people up, dropping them down, and doing all this disguising stuff. Receivers running around wide open. They got to fix that. They can't wait till the bye week this year to get it done. They got to fix it right now. And if they don't, it's going to be a long season in ATL and for everybody. So, you know, I'm not into talking about who's going to get fired and who's not. But, you know, there's some realities in this football-based business. But that's not my call. I'm just here to report for you and let you know what's going on. We're trying to do that. But this here, we're going to wrap it up here. 217th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. This is D. Orlando Ledbetter. Take care and have a great rest of the week. Music by DJ Magic.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.